Welcome to the Gladcast Basketball Podcast, a podcast all about the Caledonia Gladiators. That was a proper formal intro there. We are back. Mitchell is back. I'm here. It's the first time we've done this since, I think, December. But yeah, we're back on. I can't remember what we called this show, but it's back.
Gladiators, are you ready? Or something?
Potentially. Mitchell, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, yeah. Obviously, into the new year, 2 months in after Christmas. Lots happened, lots of changes across the board. Lots of potential growth for the club coming. And yeah, a good sort of spot to come back on, reevaluate how the season's going and see what's coming up next.
Yeah, so season so far, we're going to kind of cover both squads tonight. And this, we're going to try and keep this, Mitchell, hopefully to about half an hour. So good luck to us for that. But the men's team, they currently have a 15-11 record and sit third in the table after a close defeat to the Cheshire Phoenix last week. Before that, they obviously were triumphant over the Surrey Scorchers. And then on the WBBL side, our women's team are faring slightly better. They have sitting second in the table with a 9-1 record, that only defeat coming on the road to the Sheffield Hatters, who they were able to overturn on Sunday there at home on the BBC. That's quite a cool thing to say. The Gladiators were on the BBC. So Mitchell, let's start with the men. How would you say the season's been so far? Let's concentrate purely on the league, because we've done the Europe stuff.
Yeah, okay. So I think league-wise, I think the fact that our home record is as strong as it is pretty consistent with how the Gladiators and the Rocks have been in previous seasons. Coming up here is always a tough place to play, and we've defended our home court well. We've had a few losses that have been quite rough at home, a couple of close ones both in the league and also in the trophy. But I think that the men have kind of having struggles in terms of their fitness. I think that's kind of the main thing of it, is that we've had small injuries here or there which have kind of hindered us being at full strength. We had Patrick and Ian have an injury issue. They had to step away for a while, and we had to kind of accommodate when they were away. And then they came back. Ian suffered another injury, went away for a while. He's now had surgery on his shoulder with an indeterminate sort of time of what his return will be. So we've had to make changes. We had to prepare for the possibility that he doesn't come back. And as a result of that, we've brought in somebody new in Quade Green, who in two games has stepped up massively for the club. But you can see that that's something that we've been missing for the last few months, is having that true point guard there, who his priority is facilitating and playmaking. And the impact he's having in the short time he's been here has been massive.
So the Gladiators have a current home record of 10-4. I think that'll be what defeats to Newcastle, Leicester, Cheshire and London.
Sounds about right.
All the teams around us in the table, unfortunately, and we currently have a 5-7 record on the road. It's really interesting looking at the kind of home away records across the league. If we did the standings based purely in home, we're sitting second behind the Lions still. Obviously, they would be 14-2, having lost to obviously us and I think Newcastle in London. But the away record, we dropped down only to fourth. So it just shows you how close the kind of overall league is this season, that teams behind that first place team are really close battling it out.
Definitely. And you even look at the last couple of weeks where the Gladiators were sitting second, and then they dropped. There's potential of the results didn't go one way, we could have dropped down to fourth, and then we are in third. Like, the top, aside from London themselves, two through maybe five, it can go either way pretty easily just by the turn of one weekend. And it makes this sort of countdown to the end of the season and to the playoffs so much more interesting, because not only are you vying for a top four spot to make sure you have that advantage going into the playoffs, but you're also having to have that conversation about positioning, because these head-to-heads are going to matter so much more. It's why you saw the end of the Cheshire game last week with the men's team. They were actually trying to score the ball and narrow that gap down, because that gap between Cheshire and us matters. We're now 1-2 against them. We have a relatively small deficit right now, so we have to beat them by more than that when they come up here for the last time for the regular season. And that's going to be the thing that's going to be something that that we all need to keep an eye on going forward, is that it's not just the winning or losing that matters. It's the points that will matter now as well. Because these teams are so close around us, how we do against them and how much we win or lose by determines so much about positioning.
So if you look, let's at this point jump over to then talk about the women as well. Their season, as we said, 9-1 record. Their only defeat coming on the road to the Hatters. They are yet to play the London Lions, who look obviously pretty formidable with their strength and depth of current and, I suppose, former WNBA talent and top British talent in terms of people like Terry Fong-Benley and Carly Samuelson. But then again, Mitchell, you've obviously caught a few of their games as well, like myself. Well, I've seen all their games, I suppose, especially getting to call some of them. The women play a really nice brand of basketball, and you just saw that kind of comeback victory against Sheffield, that buzzer beater by Lake and James at halftime, how much momentum plays a big part for that squad.
Definitely, and I think the joys of that team is the fact that all the players on that team can step up. It's a very good unit. And they play, as you said, they play a really good style of basketball, and a really, really good sort of level is available there that any one bad period, as we saw in that Sheffield game, where they only scored, 6 points in the first quarter?
Nine.
Like, it was still quite, there were double digits down.
Yeah.
And double digits down in the first quarter is never a good start to a game, but some teams, both men or women, would sometimes hang their heads and just not play as hard from there on because they've just started the game that badly. But Miguel and Donnie have been able to rally that team with the help of Chantel and her experience as well to really take that next step of they can fight through these hard times and make sure that every time, even when the games are close, they know how to turn that switch, make that next step forward. And that's credit to their record. They've only lost one time against Sheffield, and Sheffield are a good team. The challenge then becomes when London comes calling, because as you said, they've not played them at either home or away yet, and those two matchups could very well determine what happens in the league.
Yeah, and you just have to look at, I've just clicked off it now, which is annoying, but the schedule for the women over the next week really kind of heats up in the WBBL, considering if committing the start-stop nature of what they've had before, now it's a bit mental that they kind of go every game, every weekend there's a game from now to the end of the season, sometimes 2 weekends, they've got a wee bit of a gap around obviously the All-Star weekend like everyone else does. But they finished the season on the road to the London Lions, which could come bound to being a massive game. Before that though, they go weekend. So their last three regular season games of the season are Leicester away, Leicester at home, London away. So you've got to say that's a really tough schedule.
Yeah, that's a horrible one to finish the season. But I think one thing to kind of keep in mind, especially with the results early, is that we maybe didn't see the best of the women's team at the start of the season because of that stop and start nature. Because they're having games and a week or two off and coming back on again, they're not really getting a consistent momentum of building up game after game, because you have one game 1 week, you're waiting a week doing nothing, you're trying to keep yourself motivated and prepared, and then coming back the week after, that in itself can be a big gap. And thankfully, the Gladiators early on had the European competition, which helped with that. But once that finished, once they were knocked out, they had this massive lull of time where nothing, they didn't. How do you motivate players in that time? And it's tough. I think having that consistent game week on week on week will work in the Gladiators' favour going forward.
Yeah, and I suppose as well, you look at that gap in between time, it's a difficult time. It's over holidays, players away from their family. I know the girls, some of them got to go home, which was brilliant for them, but it's that coming back in. The WBBL side made that change in the roster with Janeba and Dai leaving due to, I think, personal reasons. And you've then seen other players step up since. You've seen Hannah Robb and Lake and James. Their roles have changed this season, sometimes being that secondary ball carrier behind in that starting lineup behind Puyol. And you're seeing the kind of strength and depth of someone like a Hannah Robb really stepping up.
Definitely. And the women's team is so versatile. They can just adapt to any situation. They've got such a good team of a variety of skills that they've been able to really meet any challenge that comes to them and change how they play to meet that style. And that credit to them. That's credit to them to be able to do that, but also credit to their coaches and coaching staff as a whole, that they've been able to have those plans in place to adapt based on the matchup that's coming in week on week.
And I suppose we look at that prowess of this squad that they've put together. You've got internationals or players with international experience at different age groups, from Puyol with Spanish. I think she played up to under-20s for Spain. Evgenia Putra is now a full Ukrainian international. Sammy Roscoe's played for GB, Kirsty Brown, Hannah Robb, Ed McCarrickin. Obviously, Chantelle Handy is now kind of more on the coaching side of things. But it's a team layered in quality that they'll be used to playing such high-end basketball as the season goes on, which will hopefully then prove why they were here, and hopefully they finish, say, top two in the league, get a really good playoff run, and have the potential to make it to the playoff finals.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's the thing that kind of... It's weird to think of that way when it came to the trophy, is that you look at the squad that the women's have, you would expect them to be in that final for the trophy. It just so happened they got matched up against London in the first round.
Yes.
If that could happen to any other team, and that was just how it fell. But the league, how it finishes will be entirely different. And I think for the women, they need to aim for that second place spot at minimum. I think the potential, like, if the results against London go the way they hope, they could finish first. We have to expect they'll probably finish second, but they've beaten London last year. They're a very competitive team. They're competing in Europe. They didn't get to the same level that London did in terms of getting further in the playoffs, but they were knocking on that door in the first year they ever were in the competition. That in itself shows they have a calibre of competing at that level. So I think top two is the goal for them. I think they should be aiming for that. I want to keep an eye on those matchups. How does it go when the women play each other? When London play the Caledonia, how do those matchups go?
And it was interesting, that trophy game you touched on there. For three quarters, they were very much in it. And then London in that last quarter. If anything, the first half, the Gladiators did play the better basketball. And it was that third quarter, London kind of just kept in it and snuck ahead. And that team's dangerous when they sneak ahead. You saw how many points they quickly scored in Manchester the weekend. And that fourth quarter against us, they did the exact same. When you've got that much strength and depth and quality, it does tend to shine through. But the women are in a good place. It's looking like it's going to be pretty promising. And it's probably a good segue in there because I was about to mention her. But the All-Star game, Kirsty Brown's today been announced as the starting five for the women's North team. The men's team is now going to be known as the Newcastle Phoenix. Or the Cheshire Eagles, you decide, and then we'll wait. At least we've got Coach Murray there at the moment, plus probably one other. So it'll be interesting to see what's said on that. But yeah, it's a big thing. Good honour for Kirsty Brennan. That's her recognition for kind of her growth and development this last year or so.
Fantastic. That's amazing. Congratulations, Kirsty. That's a great achievement. And it's the first year this competition has been in place, and it's credit to her for playing how she has been. She's a phenomenal player and she's getting the recognition she deserves.
And then what do you quickly make on your what's your opinion on the men's roster so far?
I mean, I can't say I'm surprised. I think the problem is in terms of, even though we're sitting in the top three, we have not had a lights out star here. The Gladiators on the men's side have played a very team-centric game where any given night, four or five different guys could score 20 points on you. And sometimes that never happens. Sometimes you've got four or five that do have 15, 16 points each, and how you go between them, you have to go deeper into the stats. But Lucas can drop 16 to 20 points on you any given night. Patrick can do the same. Farrow or Clifton on a good night can do the same. You could still have the likes of Fraser Malcolm drop three or four three-pointers in a quarter, and that's 9 to 12 points.
Yeah.
So, like, and I think it's for us, it's kind of tough to pick just one player of that standard. I think that's the issue that I think our team will feel a bit less representation in terms of fan votes when it comes to an All-Star game, because we don't have that one guy. Like, for example, if you look at, say, last year, for example, the most likely person on the team to get picked was likely to probably be a David Sloan. because he was just that, he was that knockdown player that everyone targeted, that he, even though you target him, he still would drop 20 plus points on you every single game. And I think that plays almost against us this year because we don't have that guy right now.
Yeah, I think I kind of agree with that. You've got to look at it. No LaQuincy Riddle, which, considering if you talk about recency bias, he's been a brilliant. And then in the same regard, you've got people like Ricky McGill, that recent kind of bias, the thing how good he's been. Before the All-Star vote opened, Jordan Johnson, you'd say, yep, he's going to be in it. Based on last season, you can understand why Larry Austin's in it. This season as well, you go Aaron Rye, yep, understand how you're in it. And you can understand why Taj Green is in it, because of maybe less recency bias, but last season he was, him and Larry Austin were right up there. So you've got to say it's probably not, if this was last season and you had, okay, maybe Ricky was in Newcastle, Larry Austin was in Cheshire still, and Taj Green was in Manchester, you'd say it's a really good split of teams. So you know what? It'll be interesting to see. I think this will go out, and by the time people probably listen to it, the South team will be out. So it'll be an interesting matchup, and it'll be interesting to see who the coaches have picked to be the reserves, as you'd expect there'll be one more from each team announced for that. And then the women's team, same with them, the North teams came out. Georgia Gale, George Anderson, Eichmeier from Sheffield, Kirsty Robb, and I have now forgotten the girl from Durham's name, who I'm a massive fan of, and I'm going to, if everyone talks amongst themselves, I'm going to go get it, because it's going to really annoy me that I can't remember her name, because she's a phenomenal player.
Talking, Mark.
Pardon?
Just keep rambling, we'll work our way through.
I thought you said
keep the word spaghetti going.
No. I know, if I keep speaking, it'll just come up. Harriet Ottawa Soulsby, that's who it is. Harriet, she's brilliant for them, averages 15.7 rebounds basically for Durham, and they're having a brilliant season this year now after a slow start. When we obviously faced them, I think, opening game, they're on a 3-7 record sitting inside the playoff spot. So we could face them in the WBBL playoffs if everything stayed where they were. So we've talked All-Star game, we've kind of highlighted the women's team. They've obviously got some big matchups coming up as well. There's more and more of their games going to be on BBC. And that was great to see for the sport and for our women's basketball and for Scottish sport to see basketball on the telly.
Absolutely amazing to have. And I think it's the first step, really. It'll be interesting to see what traction comes from that, because having a profile like BBC Scotland broadcasting the women's games is incredible for the sport. And hopefully it raises the profile of the club, not just on a Scottish level, but also shows an intention for basketball within the country, is that these big organisations are wanting to get involved. They want us to be part of that. We saw what happened with them, with football in the country, with the promotion of the women's game, Women's World Cup, and the Women's Premier League. Like, that itself has had a massive impact. And I think it's only a matter of time before that knock-on effect goes on to that next sport. We've got it with football. Netball has your consistent Sky Sports coverage. Why not basketball next?
Absolutely. And so there'll be more games than that. I think this one, the first one, was just the trial one, but it was still on the iPlayer. Are you still there, Mitchell? Yes, you are. Sorry, you disappeared for a second. It was a trial game, but the next ones will be all over iPlayer, BBC Sports pages, so check that out. But you will get to hear my dulcet tones back on the mic for the big game, the London Lions game at the end of March. I think it's the 28th or 29th. I think it's a Friday night game. Friday night WBBL action. If you're not able to go to it, you can hear my lovely tones calling that game. So let's move back round to the guys team. At the moment, going through the last 10 games, I think it's 4 wins, 6 defeats, and a bit of a tough schedule when you've got to play games like we've played, obviously, London in the trophy, but that won't obviously count. But we've had Cheshire, Newcastle, Leicester, 3 out of our last 4 games. We beat Bristol at home, we beat Surrey at home, 2 games you'd probably think we should. But other than the Newcastle game, which slid away at the end, none of these defeats are kind of blowout defeats. They're all within single figures, and on any other given night, the Cheshire game, or especially the Leicester game, which we had an opportunity to take, or we did lead in the last quarter, there's chances there, and this team has the potential to go on a massive unbeaten run.
Definitely. I think that this the men's team is interesting for me, because they have the potential. I think the fact that the gaps and losses are becoming smaller shows the guys are improving. They're showing development there, and they're actually sticking to the game plan and listening to the coaches and actually really making progress this year, and that's a really good step. The next question becomes, can we get on a bit of a run? We obviously now, with the loss to Cheshire now a 10-game run since the start of the 2024. Like, they didn't lose a game in the trophy, they've not lost a game in February. That's quite concerning, because if they keep that momentum going, they're a team that are probably going to be sitting second in the league. So for us, the best thing we can do is get some rhythm back, get some groove, and be ready for this busy March and the run down to the playoffs in April. And I think the team have got a really good shot. They've got a really good shot of a really good run. They just need to lock into the game plan, make sure everyone's on the same page, and really just iron out all the little creases that we have right now. There's no massive gaps and concerns, but our losses are coming through almost death by a thousand cuts. It's never one big issue. It's just small little mistakes which add up to the big picture.
Yeah, and it's always that. There's always seems to be, is it the third quarter? We saw against Cheshire, it was a 3-point game, and with 2:56 to go in the third quarter, it was 44 all at halftime. 3-point game, 2:56 to go in the third, and Cheshire went on a 15-point scoring run to end the quarter. Teams seem to be able to score quite quickly on us at times, and that kind of pushes the lead away. We saw it in Newcastle, we've seen it with Leicester as well. They came back, scored quite a lot on us in a row, and it's just interesting to see who can be that guy to step up and say, you know what, I'm going to take the ball. And this then touches on our next point. You kind of touched on it earlier on, the addition of Kwade Green. Kwade came in, made a massive impact on the Surrey game, as he'd only just arrived, few practices, and you saw the potential there. And on any other given night, had it not been a Cheshire team high in confidence and themselves playing phenomenally well, Kwade's contribution on Sunday could have resulted in a win and a kind of famous big here I am game from Kwade.
Yeah, I mean, dropping 31 points in your second game in the uniform is always a massive achievement. And I think that, as you said, on the offensive side of things, you're seeing the difference he's having when he's on the court. The whole squad plays differently. The whole mood changes when he steps on the court and he's got the ball in his hand at the one. For me, I think there's a good chance that we can score a bunch of points with Kwade. And I think that with the squad we have now, we've got the potential of putting up massive numbers on teams. The problem then comes, are other teams putting massive numbers up on us as well? And I think that, for me, is the difference maker for this team, is that we've got a lot of veterans on this team, a lot of players with a lot of know-how, a lot of knowledge of the game. Can they use that on the defensive side of the ball and get stops? Stop other teams scoring, or at least making every shot as difficult as possible? Because the minute we saw it, I always think for the Cheshire game, I look at EJ Stevens in the first quarter. He hit 4 threes in the first quarter, and they were all in rhythm. They were all in a standard motion. Nothing was that difficult for them. If we disrupted that, would we have hit those threes? Maybe not. But because they were made easy, we gave them the highest percentage possible. Defensively is where we can step up now. We have the offensive tools there. We have the firepower to hold ourselves against any team in the league. But defensively, can we stop other teams scoring the ball?
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting as we head towards March. We've obviously got the GB break at the moment, where we've obviously got two players away with that. We've got Kyle Johnson and Patrick Whelan away for that. It doesn't look like Lucas Pleasa made the Czech squad. If I'm wrong, please correct me, Mitchell, but I don't think he did.
I wouldn't say he didn't make it. I think there's some, I won't go into details with it, but I feel like it was his decision not to go.
Yes, well, you see that all the time with these 24-man squads are announced, and it's more a case of, okay, who's putting themselves available. That's more we are asking these 24 guys. I know that, because we see that with the very much with the GB squad as well. But it's a brilliant for the club, but brilliant for the guys. Guys like Patrick Whelan will be a mainstay of the roster for the GB for a number of years to come. But the longevity of Kyle Johnson, I think he's on I want to say he's on about 83 caps, he did tell me. And his veteran experience, his veteran know-how of being away travelling with a GB squad will probably be one of the main reasons why he's been included in the squad.
Yeah, I think having that veteran savvy has always been a quite an important part of the GB squads. I mean, you look at like when Gareth was a bit older, not playing as much, he still filled that role.
Ryan Mockford did it as well.
Yeah, didn't Drew Sullivan do it for a while as well?
Potentially towards the end, yeah.
Like, I think that like having that someone there that has been there before, that has that knowledge and experience of playing at a high level in international play,
yeah.
That he doesn't have to necessarily play, but he's being that role player, setting that tone for the younger guys. You need that. And I feel like if that's the direction that GB want to go and continuing to have that position, someone like Kyle Johnson is perfect for it.
Absolutely. And it's going to be an interesting window, home on Friday to the Netherlands and then on the road to the Czech Republic as well. So it should be quite an exciting window and kind of makes or break what GB have set out for. They didn't enter any of the qualification for the Olympics this year because they wanted to concentrate on Eurobasket 2025 and further on. And so this is really that the detail will be in the results to be like, okay, well, how's that actually going for you? So good luck to the GB guys. Good luck to obviously Pat and Kyle, and fingers crossed for those guys. If we then look ahead to the men's running for March, or the month of March is going to be a crazy month. We start on the road to the Manchester Giants before finishing that weekend against the London Lions, before returning home to play the London Lions before we play the Newcastle Eagles, the Leicester Riders, the Newcastle Eagles again. So it's March is going to be a massively telling month for this squad.
Definitely. I think that the start of the month is going to be kind of, it's going to be an interesting one for us because the guys will have had a couple of weeks away. They'll come back in, they'll play Manchester, who are not necessarily sitting at the upper end of the table. So you would expect a victory, but Manchester have snuck a few wins in there here or there. They're not an easy team to roll over, and any team that has Jamel Anderson, I don't bet against at all. And I think that that will be the kind of way to get the ball rolling for us. If we can come up with that win away from home, that sets the tone going forward. That next weekend, on the 8th and the 10th, we've got London and Newcastle respectively at home. Two massive games for us. We are now currently sitting at, we're 0-2 against Newcastle right now?
Yep.
So we're picking up that win at home means we still have a chance at head-to-head against them, which means that when we go back down there later on in the year, it's all or nothing for us, basically, if we want that matchup.
Absolutely.
For London, we've now played London, three times already?
Yep.
This match in March is the last time we'll see London till the playoffs.
We obviously play them on away first, then home first, secondly, but yeah. But until those after this, we don't see them again yet.
Yeah, like after this game, we don't see them again until the playoffs, and it's going to be interesting. It's going to, for us, it's like this is like the final testament of this is a standard. Even if it's not necessarily a win, this is a standard we need to be up against. This is a standard we need to play at, and if the guys aren't ready for that, then it sets a bad precedent going to the Newcastle game on the Sunday. As the coaches have said in the past, as ownership has said in the past, we don't necessarily need to beat London, but we need to show fight. We need to show that willingness to not give up and keep fighting till the very end of the game to set that tone for the rest of the month and the rest of the season. Because we need to leave them with the message of, if we see in the playoffs, we're coming out swinging. We're not holding anything back. And they'll have an interest in running in the rest of March to really see what can happen. That will kind of set the tone for us about how we're going to try and finish the year. And positioning-wise, it's up in the air right now where we could finish.
Yeah, actually, I'm of the opinion that with the way it looks like the playoffs are played, that it looks like it's jumped back to being it gets rearranged ties. If they're not like a highest three lowest again every so often. Originally, I think it was communicated it was going to be a proper bracket, but I think it's now gone back to what it's traditionally been. Anything inside the top four could be a strong place to be to potentially, with how deep the league is this year, anything inside the top four, which gives you home advantage, is okay.
Yeah, I think that for us, we're, I'm trying to think of the best way to put it. Like, you heard, if you listened to other coaches talk, and particularly I'm thinking of Ben Thomas on the BTR podcast a couple of weeks ago, he's saying second or third for Cheshire. That's where they want to finish. So if it comes down to matchups, they're not seeing London till the final. We probably want to do the same.
Yep.
Which means we're probably facing Cheshire in the semi-final, which in itself is not an easy matchup for us. So we're facing two really strong teams regardless where we go. At this point, we want home court advantage in the playoffs. After that, I think we just take our chances. I think we take who comes at us and just give them everything we've got.
And that will be really interesting. We see in recent weeks since injuries, unfortunately, to Ian DeBoss and to Pat Whelan, of course, we've seen a little bit of a change in the rotation. We've obviously brought Quade in, but we've seen a lot more court time for players like Kyle Jimenez, which is brilliant to see. But how... We've talked before about the impact of someone like a Fraser Malcolm. Fraser Malcolm, his first season is just a full-time pro. People seem to forget about that. He's averaging about 5 points a game, just over 16 minutes. But it seems to be in recent weeks, or kind of 2024 even, we've seen a greater kind of scoring or a bit more responsibility for him in the rotation.
Definitely. I think his role has changed a lot. And I think that he's really sort of solidified himself as that solid off-the-bench scorer and off-the-bench wing defender. He plays that role really well. He does. He sits in that position. And it's really commendable to him is that, again, as you said, it's his first year fully professional where he's actually focusing on the game every day. And that's a massive step. You're seeing the change that's having by working behind someone like a Lucas Paliza, where he's learning from someone of that experience and knowledge who's a bit older than him to how to do that role well. And you can see it that he's... I think the benefit that he has is he's good on both sides of the ball. He's a scorer. He can score inside, outside, does a lot of the hard work, grabs rebounds, finds a lot of gaps on the offensive end to find easy baskets under the basket, or he gets open looks. Defensively, he's always marking one of the better players on the team. He's always the one that's giving them everything he can on both ends of the ball, and he's been able to handle the physicality a lot. I think that's one thing that's kind of also to remember is he's not built like a Prince Onlas.
Yeah.
He's a more of a slimmer built guy, but he's just as tough. He's holding his own just as well, and he's making every shot as difficult as he can. And I feel like he's got the potential to be a massive role player for a long time with the Gladiators if he wants to stay.
Yeah, and you hope heading into it, he had a brilliant trophy campaign. Was up, his stats were up in every category. Shot over 50% in the trophy. Okay, was maybe only taking about two and a half a game, but he was making that on 55%. He really earns his minutes really well, and it's great to see Fraser really doing well and kind of forcing himself to be such a big part of the rotation. But is that something you think has been a change this season in the team when we look at the rotation? It very much kind of looked like at times it was first five, second five, but it seems to be a lot more integrated and integral and players swapping in and out.
Yeah, I think that was almost by design. I mean, if you think about from the starting five, that's the five you're going to see playing together most often. They're often all start the game together, they have the rotation together, they know how they like to play. And then swap out the next five, they know how each other plays. But as the season's gone on, as we kind of had to be more flexible and adapt, we're trying different mix-ups, we're trying different rotations because it gives the guys a chance to start as a template, figure out in their offense, where do they want to play based on who's on the court. They can then adapt that after they've got that initial template to then say, okay, but I like this, he likes this, how is that going to work together? And I feel like that's something we're doing a lot more of recently. And I feel like that's something that's actually working in our favour is that we have a lot more diversity when it comes to who can go on the court at any one time.
And I also, to furthermore on that, and I think having a guard like Quade, who's maybe able to beat his man a little bit quicker than, say, Anine DeBoss, or definitely obviously quicker than what Mihailo was able to do, is going to really stretch teams out against... They will be able to really stretch teams now that will actually create more shooting opportunities for our top-end scorers like Lucas, like Pat Whelan, like a Fraser Malcolm off the bench.
Definitely. And you saw a little glimpse of that in the Cheshire game, that when he attacks that basket, you've got two or three guys in the wing open every time. And I think that's the thing that makes him such an important piece of the puzzle is that because we now have that guy at the one spot who is a consistent and scary offensive threat, that 31-point game means he has to be targeted now by teams. They're going to have to look at him and say, he cannot score 30 on us. But for them to do that, they've got to help off someone else. That could be a Pat Whelan. It could be a Lucas. It could be a Fraser Malcolm. And I think that is the difference for this team, is that now we've got that one-spot guard. We still have likes of Mike Bothwell there, who's shown he is capable. I think he's personally better suited to play being at the two, playing off a guy like Kwadwo Green. And I think that will make him better, and I feel like it'll help make the team as a whole better. I think it's also an interesting thing to note, especially when Ian first got injured, and then also through to now, where even in the Cheshire game, you saw a lot more minutes for likes of Kyle Jimenez as well. And you've seen in the last few games, he's really stepped up and really played really good defence and played a really physical level that's really been important for the team.
And you saw that defensive impact he made against the Leicester Riders. It was a phenomenal effort. It wasn't the game probably actually only went away from us when Kyle sat down, which is a crazy thing to say, but it's from the eye. Do you agree with me on that one? Because I thought Kyle played a phenomenal defensive game that night. And yeah, I felt like when he went off, the game changed.
I think that, I mean, you look what happened after he got fouled out of the game. Who scored the bomb? The guy who was guarding.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of it. And like, one thing that Kyle has been able to do really well, in the limited minutes when he goes on the court, he has an impact. He's able to contribute in a positive way and have a massive positive result on the game. And I think it's something we can see a lot more of. I think that he's not going to be a guy getting 20-30 minutes this season, but he's someone that can come on, give you 5-10 5-minute spurts maybe, and just be really tough, really physical, and control the game from the one spot. He's not a scoring threat for Kwadwo Green, but weirdly enough, when you put him next to Kwadwo on the court, that also works really well.
I really like that mix-up. But you know, I really like it. It's one of those annoying games, being so early in Kwadwo's kind of gladiator tenure. You go, that Cheshire game, if that had been a W, if we got the win, there's been a few really kind of goes, not eureka moments, but a few glimpses the last couple of games. You go, like, this team's a millisecule away from really clicking, and hopefully heading towards playoff season and the end of the regular season begins to click.
I mean, think again, that's 2 weeks of Kwadwo being here. Give them a month. Give them 2 months. Like, if they're clicking, if they're starting to show glimpses of that clicking.
Hopefully 3 months.
Like, yeah, but even if it is 3 months, like, that's still, the amount of development the team's gone through to gel in this short period of time is massive.
Yeah.
What's going to happen in a month's time? What are we going to be having this conversation again in April? Probably not. Entirely different conversation, because he's had that time to work with the guys, find out their sweet spots, find out how they like to play, and kind of facilitate that. And it's going to change. I think there's the real chance that, like, the squad could look entirely different in terms of how we play when it comes to playoff time. Absolutely. And all Gareth has to do now is trust his system, trust the guys within it, and let the guys who are there almost be guide Kwadwo into how they want to play. So that, because we've seen what he can do, he's capable of facilitating. You don't be a consistent threat at a G League level over multiple seasons without being a damn good guard. And stepping in here to the British League and having up the likes of a Lucas Paliza, a Patrick Whelan, a Kyle Johnson, a Clifton Moore, you have guys all over the floor, inside and outside the 3-point line, that are threats to score.
Yeah, and you actually saw the impact instantly of Farrow against Surrey more than anything. He had a brilliant game against Surrey. He was probably unlucky not to get anyone's MVP vote because he was so efficient. How almost guys having the high IQ, pacey guy, you kind of see him, the strings being pulled, and it's a really nice place to be.
For sure, and I'm looking forward to that Green-Ali Hodzic matchup and how that's going to really play off each other. Like, you saw little glimpses of it in the games we've had so far, and I think that's something that could really be tapped into more. Like, it used to be something, if you remember the start of the season, one of the main things we used to do at the start of the game was feed the ball to Farrow, get him going early. Once we did that, the ball was rolling. They've not done that as much this season, well, especially in the latter half. And I think that with Quaddie now here, if he ever goes in the starting lineup or he gets minutes with Farrell, we can get that ball rolling again. And I think it sets the tone. I think that's something we do quite a lot very well at the start of the games, is we come out swinging. We start the game really strongly. It's really that third quarter that kills us. And if we can really sort of have a point guard there that can keep that ball rolling, or at least give us that spurt of energy in the third quarter, it can change the game for us and how we play entirely.
Absolutely. Mitchell, this has been great. Fingers crossed for the rest of the season or the rest over the next couple of weeks. Good luck to the guys away from GB camp. Hopefully it also allows guys that are banged up to get that bit of rest over the next kind of 2 weeks for what is going to be quite a punishing number of weeks as we head towards the playoffs. Good luck to both our men and women squads in their next games. And yeah, thank you for listening to Gladcast, and we'll hear you next time.